This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
The fact that the 4 hours is never enough time, I think, bodes well for me as a talker. People say to me sometimes, I don't know how you do it. How do you fill? That's the word they'll use. How do you fill 4 hours? We do not fill. We generate entertaining, engaging conversation and connection. We don't fill time. It's not like we're punching in, just holding our noses and navigating the 4 hours and then leaving. Nah, I seriously very rarely get to everything that I have just because I can always find ways to talk about what's happening in sports or outside of sports. And so there's a lot on our plate still. I'm going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys situation because I love Micah Parsons and I'm a little bit at a loss to explain why he said what he did on Sunday. Not that I need to. He's the one that needs to. And he's got his podcast, The Edge, that generally is taped on Mondays or Tuesdays. So we'll see. Not that long ago, he had Trayvon Diggs. In fact, it may have been 2 weeks ago, right, that Trayvon Diggs got into the brouhaha with the reporter Mike Leslie. And then Diggs went on Micah's show and explained himself. And then made up with Mike Leslie at, you know, a press availability. I think it was Wednesday. It actually offered him some cans of D's nuts. Pete doesn't like that phrase. He thought it would be inappropriate for our show. And then I was like, D's nuts, like yelling it out. Sorry, Pete. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Right. So they've already had some issues. Now, this one is making more headlines because it was comments about his coach, who is absolutely on the hot seat. Even if you understand Jerry Jones' history and know that he hangs on to coaches far longer than he should, you still have to recognize that Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat. This season, it's inexplicable. I know they've had injuries to their defense, and of course, CeeDee Lamb wasn't in camp. Not that anyone seemed to think that would matter. Now Dak is injured, and they're riding with Cooper Rush. Riding with Rush, they're rush riding. But this is still, to me, not quite as inexplicable as that loss against the Packers in the wild card round, but almost feels like an extension of that in some ways. They are underperforming and underachieving all expectations set on them. And a big part of it is the run game. Ezekiel Elliott was not going to be the answer. They had to know that. And Jerry Jones bears a big portion of the responsibility because he didn't go out and do anything other than put out the feelers for Derrick Henry. But when it didn't work out, they needed to come up with some other option. And I know their offensive line is not as good as it's been in the past. And yes, the injuries. But still, the way they're getting beaten at home is embarrassing for them, and I'm sure embarrassing for him, too. And here we are, and it's only week number 10, and you've got guys in the locker room who are speaking out loud about their coach. Not that we necessarily want to infer that Micah was taking a direct shot at Mike McCarthy, but certainly not the opposite, as in standing up for his coach and preaching more of the unity and sticking together. So you hear that coming up, and also Mike's response. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I do believe our Monday MVP poll has closed. So the polls are officially closed on Monday MVP, but yes, they are. But we got a late surge of votes, and we'll reveal the winner coming up this hour. Also, your candidates for TD of the week. At last check, Pete and I were still trying to determine which ones we should put in the final poll, but at Amy After Hours and also on our Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227.
Eagles defense has done a terrific job. The offense has made too many mistakes, but let's see if they can avoid another mistake right here and come away with points. It is first and 10. First and 10. The ball at the 13. Hurts back. Hurts looks. Here comes the rush. He's rolling, firing, complete. Touchdown! Dallas Goedert. He got him.
I thought the defense came out, played very well in the first half. You know, they just had the one touchdown there at the 2 minute spot. You know, we gave them the ball on the first turnover. To me, the game's was about the giveaways. You know, it's unacceptable. Our last two home games, we've had 10 giveaways. You can't win games at any level like that. To be in there at halftime in a one score game and to go out there and turn that ball over three times, that's you know, we have to, you know, we need to make some adjustments. Or I mean, it's, you know, it's the same thing happened to Detroit. The game gets away from you, and you can't get back into it. So, yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm sure, you know, as I'm sure everybody is.
Under 3.5 to go in the third quarter. Eagles up 21-6. A.J. Brown to the far side. Devontae Smith to the near side. They go with a pistol formation, and Barkley is back in, standing directly behind Hurts. Now he moves to the left of Hurts. Hurts stamps his foot. Hurts keeps it. Runs. Cuts back. Inside. Touchdown number 10. Hurts on the keeper.
Well, listen, I don't even understand not having hope. Now, we've got, eight more ball games? If you'll help me with my arithmetic here, since I can't do some other things right. So, bottom line is that we've got 8 ball games. That used to be 80% of a college season. That's a lot of football left. We've got a lot to work on that we can do better than that. But we were within striking distance as we came out for the third quarter. And that's very disappointing that we did all the things we did and end up with a game like that.
Arbitrage around our neck.
Oh, Jerry. By the way, he'll be on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan, coming up on Tuesday with Sean and RJ. And I saw this write-up. Forgive me for not knowing which one of them was quoted. Maybe it was both. But I saw this write-up in which they were talking about the show being in the national spotlight whenever Jerry is on it. And even more so now because of the bit of the brouhaha a couple of weeks ago where Jerry seemingly threatened them. The call's there with Merrill Reese on Cowboys. Oh, nope. Eagles radio. Eagles and Cowboys. And it was a lopsided affair. Now, here are a couple of things that bother me. I mentioned the run game. That really bothers me. Obviously, the fact that they don't seem to have the same offensive connection. Even, and I know Cooper Rush is the quarterback and Trey Lance went in, but even when Dak was out there, and he's likely done for the year now, their production in the red zone or on third down, too many turnovers, which Mike McCarthy mentions. And this stands out to me in such a stark way that I honestly feel like this is the worst indictment. They are 0-4 at home. They have one of the most beautiful facilities with passionate fans, and I know they've been hearing it from those fans, but they are 0-4 in a place where they rattled off 16 consecutive wins. It used to be a home field advantage, and now it's the complete opposite. They're getting shellacked at home, and that's embarrassing, and I think even worse for the Cowboys and for their fans, and obviously the pressure on Jerry Jones after he said that they would be all in. Right now, they're 3-6. But they are 0-4 in Arlington. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't think coaching fires in season do a whole lot of good unless there's a major disconnect between the team and the coach. Certainly seems like with Dennis Allen in New Orleans, there was a major disconnect there based on some things I'm hearing behind the scenes. But also, I think that players are smart enough to recognize that they're the ones that bear a lot of the responsibility. Robert Saleh, not his fault, in New York. Oh my gosh, Pete, you were not here on our last show, but I did, I don't know why this popped into my brain, but I did the quick research. Do you know this time last year with Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh, the Jets were 4-5?
That makes sense.
Uh-huh. They don't have that record this year with Aaron Rodgers
far
and
from it.
Firing Robert Saleh.
Lucky they have 2 wins.
So the Cowboys have got some major issues. It's clear that the forward momentum, the direction, the leadership is being exposed. And of course that falls on Mike McCarthy. Micah Parsons, he was back on the field on Sunday. It was good to see him. And he had 2 sacks, a forced fumble, 2 quarterback hits. He felt like he was in good shape. He didn't look as though he was reserved in any way coming off the high ankle sprain. And yeah, now they've got to maybe deal with less, although this has been the case all season, there's going to be less offensive production, probably fewer points, maybe even more turnovers with Cooper Rush and or Trey Lance, which puts extra pressure on the defense.
I felt like we just had to do our best because we know this is a rival game. Jalen Hurts, that offense is so explosive with the weapons they have. But, you know, I think the mindset was, man, to kill them birds, really. Like I said, I believed in Cooper Rush. I didn't care who was at quarterback. You know, at defense, we got to do our job regardless.
Micah was asked about the situation with his head coach. Okay, so there's a growing discontent, as you can imagine. There's also a cacophony of noise, a groundswell of people calling for Mike McCarthy to get fired. I will say this, I would not have said this at the end of last year, even after they got pounded by the Packers at home in the wild card round. I did not think that that should erase the entire season, which was filled with a lot of positives for the Cowboys last year. But I would be stunned if Mike McCarthy keeps his job, unless somehow these Cowboys rattle off 8 wins in their next 8 games, which seems extremely unlikely. Pete just made a face at me. It's not that it's impossible. Remember the Packers a few years ago? Was it 15? Might have even been going back to 15 now, maybe almost a decade ago. And they were down and out. And Aaron Rodgers was saying, hey, you never know. We might not lose again the rest of the season. I'll be damned. It's exactly what happened. They made a video out of it because the Packers even made the playoffs that year. But the Cowboys have some tough teams on their schedule, right? Coming up on the 18th, which is next Monday, they've got the Houston Texans, a first place club. Then they're on the road at Washington for the first game against the Commanders this season. Also, well, right now, not a first place club, but a team that's probably bound for the playoffs. Then they go Giants and Bengals on the road at the Panthers. Okay, so maybe, just maybe, they can pick up some wins there. Although the games inside the NFC East, you kind of throw out the window. The Buccaneers, they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. That's another primetime game. Then they finish up with Eagles and Commanders. This is not a cream puff schedule, and I would say it's nigh impossible. Now, nothing's impossible, but it's near impossible for them to think about going 8-0. But let's say they do go 8-0 the rest of the way. Probably Mike McCarthy keeps his job. But anything else, I would be stunned if he doesn't. So, of course, reporters are asking now about Mike McCarthy's status and about him potentially losing his job. And the question was posed to Micah Parsons on Sunday. The fact that this is, he's a lame duck walking right now because he's in the final year of his contract as coach.
That's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
He had me up until that last phrase. To me, that was an unnecessary shot. And I don't know why, and I don't know if it was inadvertent or if it was intentional. But I was fine with him saying that's above my pay grade. You know what? If someone came and asked me whether or not my boss should be fired, I would say the same exact thing. That's not my decision. Why are you asking me? I have nothing to do with that. Now, could he have gone the opposite direction and said, no way, Mike McCarthy, he's working hard. He deserves to be here. It's a tough season. We're the ones who are out there on the field. Yes. But I was in no way taken aback by his that's above my pay grade. Because it is above his pay grade. And it's true. McCarthy is in the final few months of his contract. He even had me at the point where he said, McCarthy can leave and go somewhere else. Eh, little bit jarring, but not, I didn't feel like Micah meant anything by it. But then you get to the end of what he has to say about how Zach Martin and other veterans, he even had me through that part. Yes, you feel bad for the veterans who've invested so much. They've come back, they've signed new contracts, and Zach's made a lot of money, but they've signed contracts so that they can pour heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears into the Cowboys, potentially winning a Super Bowl. And here is another season at the midway point that's gone completely off the rails. All of that was good. Until he got to the point where he said, these guys have worked harder than Mike McCarthy ever did. If you could play that portion for us again, Pete, when you're ready.
Yeah, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that...
Why? Why? That part I do not understand at all. First of all, it may only be true because they've been there longer. Mike McCarthy works exhaustively. Every NFL head coach does. And I'm sure he's not implying that McCarthy is lazy or doesn't do the work. That to me felt like a personal shot. And I don't know why. Again, I don't know if it was inadvertent. Maybe Micah will backpedal on that when he has his podcast. But Pete, he was fine. But he's obviously frustrated. He hates losing too. He comes back and they get blasted by the birds that they want to kill. But what would be the point of tacking that little tidbit on the end?
He doesn't like him. That's the point. That's the point he's trying to salvage. But he likes to talk a lot. And to be honest with you, this Dallas Cowboys team doesn't deserve to talk, you know, the way they're playing. And we talk about them possibly rolling off 8 straight wins.
No. I said it was near impossible.
Near impossible. Yeah, I know you bet. But the fact that this team can't get the job done when healthy, like we've seen that in the playoffs. This is a team that fails in every spot. Every spot, even with a healthy roster. So... it's a very easy road to take for Parsons to go after the head coach, the guy who's probably working harder than anybody in the room.
Yeah, see, again, I understand the frustration, and I'm with you about feeling badly for the veterans. I'm with you about how this sucks. It actually kind of sounds like they've thrown in the towel, though I don't necessarily want to infer that. But to take an unnecessary shot like that at your coach, to me, that is the part that raises eyebrows and that kind of raises the red flag and people wondering what's going on in that locker room.
What post-game remarks and really any remarks, when it does create questions for others in the locker room, something that I've always done, you know, conversation has to happen. So, you know, Mike and I had a conversation this morning about it and, you know, handled those things as men should handle it.
He takes the high road, and I agree with him. It's not so much that I think he's perfect or he doesn't deserve a lot of the blame. Of course he does. I think there is a leadership void with the Cowboys. But the fact that he's not going to take the bait, as pretty much every veteran head coach knows, especially those who have been fired, there's not a whole lot you can do. You can go out there, you can do your job, and that helps you to focus maybe on the day-to-day as opposed to the big picture and the what ifs, because you cannot do a whole lot to control that other than try to change the person's mind, right? So I remember Ron Rivera, just, I mean, he's the one that comes to mind because we talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he shared with us how difficult the last couple years in Washington. And of course, when the new owners took over the team, he had to know that was more than likely going to signal the end for him. Was it all his fault? Hell no. Think about the number of quarterbacks they had under Ron Rivera. So it's never all about the head coach. It really isn't. But something's got to give, and Mike McCarthy and his staff are the easiest pieces to change, especially after you've just committed so much money to CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, and now Dak's about to miss another half a season here. The whole thing, yeah, it's a mess. It's a disaster. Really a sad state of affairs. But as Mike points out, you force others to have to answer questions about what comments you made. You're adding to the problem as opposed to squashing it. So I'm interested in hearing from Micah Parsons on his podcast whether or not he backtracks or apologizes or anything like that. I mean, he just gave Trayvon Diggs the platform to be able to apologize and work things out. McCarthy says he and Micah spoke like men should, and I appreciate that Mike's not going to air this dirty laundry. But yeah, he put a lot of people in a position where now they have to answer questions about his comments, which doesn't do your team any good. At A-Law Radio, coming up next, are candidates for TD of the Week. You'll be able to vote on both Twix as well as our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-1. Touchdown! The center's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the Week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Buffalo Bills.
As it's first and 10 from the Colts 13. Three receivers to the right. Johnson flared out to the left in the backfield. Allen in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Hand off. No, it's a keeper for Allen. Through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Cordero Patterson is checked into the game. He is to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Three receivers split to the right. One Freiermuth to the left. Jefferson motions close to Pickens, still split out on the right side. Russell Wilson again changing the play, touching his helmet. Now lifts up the leg, gets the snap, looking to the right. He's going to loft towards the corner of the end zone, and Pickens, oh my goodness, what a catch by George Pickens. An amazing catch in the back of the end zone.
The Arizona Cardinals.
First and goal on the 9. Connor is flexed out wide to the right with Harrison in the slot right and Dortch in the backfield with Murray, who's in shotgun. Snap to Murray, drop straight back.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fade, right corner of the end zone. Harrison, oh, what a catch with one hand for a touchdown. Marvin Harrison Jr. hauls it in with his right arm. Just a gorgeous drop in the bucket by Murray.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Mason stays in. Here's Purdy on a second and five. Throws over the middle. Wide open. Ricky Pearsall's got the catch. 20, 15, 10, 5. Pearsall all the way to the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco!
So happy for Ricky Pearsall. Over the middle on a crossing route slash post route. The ball's a little high. Brock Purdy put it right on him. He jumps up and got it and then just outran Antoine Winfield.
Our candidates for TD of the week, man, some of them come with emotions. For Buffalo, yet another win. Seriously, they could clinch the AFC East in week number 12. That's what's been determined. Our conversation with our Dolphins insider earlier on the show. Now at 8-2 with five straight wins. And Josh Allen, he is definitely a beast. And he's been released. Now, he had a couple of interceptions in the game against the Colts on Sunday. But that run, that touchdown run through traffic, I mean, that's classic Josh Allen, part of Buffalo rattling off 20 straight points. Once he gets a full head of steam, it's like Derrick Henry, who really wants to tackle him. Chris Brown with the call on the Bills radio network. On Steelers radio, one of the candidates for catch of the year, not just TD of the week here on After Hours, George Pickens, who gets separation from his defender in the corner of the end zone as he's laying out. He's twisting, diving backwards. I'm doing it right now. Laying out, get both hands up on the football from Russell Wilson, hits the ground and secures it. If you haven't seen that moment, man, some of the perspectives from behind the end zone are incredible as the ball's coming at George and coming at us. Find them on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. That was the first touchdown of the game with the Commanders. Of course, we could have used the Mike Williams touchdown where Russell Wilson dropped it into the bucket. But this, how do we leave George Pickens' acrobatic catch out of the field? For Arizona, Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr. Perfect throw, incredible catch. He's very talented. And I think that was his sixth TD catch of the year. The rookie from Kyler, they're developing a great rapport. So that's Dave Pasch on Cardinals radio. Finally, I'm not sure how you can look away from this moment. It's worth watching again. Ricky Pearsall, 47 yards, the catch and run for his first career touchdown. Not even 3 months after he was shot in the chest and what that meant for him, his third game back, but to recover both physically and mentally to be able to play football again for the San Francisco 49ers and what a weapon he can be. The call there with Greg Papa on Niners radio. What a moment. So that poll is about to go up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Pete is working on it right now. And then you can find it on Facebook as well when I have a chance to post it. I just saw this response from George, who says, I think you're reading too much into, now he says the Minka comments. I think he means the Micah Parsons comments. That's me. I think radio and media read way too much into stuff. Well, that's true, George. I would agree with that. But I would also say that with the media reading too much into it means the media will continue to ask questions. And so after Micah puts it out there, the media promptly trot over to the head coach and to Jerry Jones and to everyone else who is interested in answering questions or who is available to answer questions. So that's kind of the deal, is it becomes a thing, whether or not it was ever supposed to be a thing. And that's what Mike McCarthy had to say. We talked about it. We worked it out. I'm glad that they did. This is co-workers. It doesn't need to be on national TV or on social media. But when the media gets a hold of something like this and it becomes a story, then it takes away from their prep time. It also becomes even bigger than maybe it was ever expected to be, or maybe that Micah Parsons thought it would be. But that's kind of the whole idea. You're giving the media, radio, TV, writers, extra material. And that's not something the Cowboys want to deal with right now, because that means everybody else has to answer those questions. at A-Law Radio. Thanks for reaching out. Our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD veterans and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. With a nod to Micah Parsons, who actually had a pretty good game in returning. The defense was overwhelmed by the Eagles. Instead, I'm looking to the team that sacked Caleb Williams nine times, and also hit him another 13 times. He was under pressure a ton, and I know the Drake May storyline is terrific for Patriots fans. They're excited about what they see from their rookie quarterback, but to be able to get to Caleb as much as they did, and in addition, holding the Bears to 1 of 14 on third down, I'm looking at you, Anfernee Jennings, the linebacker who has a stat line that's really impressive. 4 tackles, all of them solo, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. He was a monster, and he was all up in Caleb Williams' grill. So Caleb going to be having some nightmares about that Patriots defense, including Anfernee Jennings. We'd love to connect with you on either of our social media sites. Always good to hear from you, whether it's sports or life or something that has nothing to do with anything, really. That's part of the fun of connecting over radio, is we're not set on this formula that's rigid and limited and doesn't allow us to get off the beaten path. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Here at AM, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Dolphins put a halt to the Rams' 3-game win streak, 23-15. Miami, relying on their defense, forced a pair of turnovers, along with sacking Matthew Stafford 4 times as they held L.A. out of the end zone all night. Tua Tagovailoa threw for 207 yards and a touchdown.
Play complimentary football in that sense. When we turn the ball over, the defense is able to hold them and minimize the points that they score. And vice versa, when the defense gives us opportunities, we're able to take advantage of that.
Dolphins now 3-6. Rams fell to 4-5. Meanwhile, Micah Parsons got plenty of attention with comments about head coach Mike McCarthy after their lopsided loss, where people were questioning his job status. Well, McCarthy, chance to respond.
We just got to keep it about football, bear down on the things we know we need to improve on. Build off of some of the things that we did, felt like we got better, throughout these games coming out of the bye. These are the things that you need to, eliminate from your culture.
Checking the NBA with the Cavs, just continue to roll.
Here's Garland into the paint. Lob to Mobley. Pow! The throw to Mo. And the Cavaliers regain the advantage. And now at the other end of Steele, here comes Jerome behind him to Mitchell. Mitchell up with a left hand, spun it home.
Donovan Mitchell, 36 points, 8 rebounds. Cavs pulled away from the Bulls, 119-113, making it 12 straight wins to begin the season. Call courtesy of the Cavs Radio Network. Rest your scores. Thunder took out the Clippers, 134-126. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander poured in 45. Nets able to withstand the Pelicans, 107-105. Rockets overpowered the Wizards, 107-92. And the Spurs up the Kings, 116-96, as Victor Wembanyama had 34 points and 14 rebounds. College hoops, Alabama withstood McNeese State, 72-64. Iowa State erased Kansas City, 82-56. Purdue withstood Yale, 92-84. Marquette handled Central Michigan, 70-62. Florida punished Grambling, 86-62. Ohio State rolled Youngstown State, 81-47. Texas A&M rocked Lamar, 97-71. And Rutgers topped St. Peter's, 75-65. I'm Marco Belletti.
They break the huddle. Mike Williams comes to the left. 3 receivers split to the right. Warren to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap, back to pass, looking, going to float it up left for Williams, and Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw, what a catch. Mike Williams in his first game in a Steelers uniform has hauled in a 32-yard touchdown strike from Russell Wilson.
You got to love clutch moments. You know, when you get guys that can make plays and do things for you. First of all, Big Mike over there, just traded for him. You know, he's a tremendous football player. We got GP on the right, Van on the right. Those guys, Pat showed up in big ways. I mean, just guys just stepped up in key moments, and just another great moment. You know, when you're playing the game, it's a collection of, I don't know, 75 plays, and you want to see how many great moments you can have. And when we had that one in the key part of the game, obviously.
The voice of one Russell Wilson, who has revitalized the Steelers offense, making Mike Tomlin look like a genius, much to the chagrin of those athletes, or I should say athletes, much of those the chagrin of those fans out there who believe Mike Tomlin cannot win another Super Bowl, which is crazy to me, believing that the best he can do is get a winning record and then make it to the playoffs, and that's kind of the ceiling. So I don't agree with that. I'm a huge fan of Mike Tomlin, not just because of his extensive vocabulary, but because of the way that he approaches his job, the professionalism, the make no excuses, seek no comfort, the fact that he expects men to be men. He expects there to be accountability, and he believes that there should be higher standards always for his team because he believes in them. And I love that he saw the leadership, the experience, and the potential with Russell Wilson in this offense. And even though it maybe wasn't a popular decision at the time, he chooses to go back to Russ. And all of the numbers are trending up now for the Steelers offense. And it's looking like they've got the pieces in place to compete right now, sitting on top of the AFC North with a lot of real estate left in the season. The call there on Steelers radio, and that was the moment with about 2.5 minutes to go, a little less than that, where Russell Wilson drops that touchdown to Mike Williams. He also threw the one to George Pickens in the corner where only George could grab it. I saw him extend plays on Sunday, and it's funny because you hear people talk about how Russ is not the guy he used to be with his legs, with the football in his hands. And that's true. You don't want him to be a running QB. And really, he never was a running QB. He just had the ability to run if necessary. That's not what you want from Russell Wilson. But I did see him laterally running about 25 yards late in the game, or shuffling, I should say, until he could find an open window to be able to step up and deliver a pass downfield. The addition of Mike Williams is huge, but also what Najee Harris has done. I think that the veteran presence that Russ brings to the backfield makes everyone better. And that's not a knock on Justin Fields, but we're talking about a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Russ, and a guy who has had to deal with a ton lately. You don't have to love his personality, but you can respect what he brings to the table as the most veteran QB the Steelers have had since Ben Roethlisberger retired. And even the last couple years of his tenure, there just wasn't enough support around him. So that's your choice in a very tight race against one Kyler Murray for Monday MVP. It was a holiday Monday. I missed some of you, but I'm glad you're back with us on this now Tuesday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've been taking a variety of different roads, and we certainly still have some QB news to get to. But the Dallas Cowboys situation is one that is exacerbated because of the losing, right? I mean, we're talking about curtains in the top of AT&T Stadium, and I've now understood that they use them at times for concerts so that they can make sure that the light is not pouring in through the top. But what Jerry Jones had to say is that, and I've heard it, you know, it's, are you kidding me? It's kind of ridiculous. Every single team has to deal with the same sunlight after CeeDee Lamb was complaining about it and wasn't able to see a potential TD pass coming in at the back of the end zone. It's these types of things that tend to grate on teams. It's the Micah Parsons comments that obviously aren't happening if they're winning. It's having to deal with all this extracurricular activity and the extemporaneous storylines that are not even remotely an issue if they're winning. Then they can kind of laugh them off. But now it's tougher because losing tends to expose those cracks in the dam, if you will. Apparently, and I appreciate, I'm going to give him credit for it, Will, reaching out to us on Twix. He says, I love your show. I listen every morning. Thanks, Will. Micah posted a video about 8 hours ago about his comments, and he showed us where to find it. So he has recorded Yeah, Pete's working on it. He has recorded his latest edition of The Edge, which is his podcast on Bleacher Report. He's, I think, a budding media star, if you wouldn't already call him that already. So I am anxious to hear it, Will. Thanks for calling our attention to it. I didn't realize it was out there. I looked on his social, but I didn't look on Bleacher Report, and so I didn't see the clip, but thank you very much. Mike is listening in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hey, Amy.
Hey.
We're still not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
I know.
Wild card.
I know.
So you think Trey Lance is going to... No, but remember, it was like 2 weeks ago whenever Diggs was upset at one of the reporters?
Yep.
It was just like, before they couldn't even... You know, they got all the big money, and they look at their phones, what's going on. And it's like, before they even win anything, you know, they are all get paid.
Well, that's life in professional sports, though. I mean, if you waited until every single athlete won a championship before you paid him or her a large free agent deal, you would never win. That's kind of the idea, is you've got to pay the people, and please... Jerry Jones and every other NFL owner, they've got more than enough money to be able to cover all of these checks. And in fact, the NFL players don't get the large piece of the pie. So I'd rather the athletes get the money. You know, the NFL is making money hand over fist. They're a nearly $25 billion a year industry. It's fine to pay the players. But if you don't pay the players, you're not going to win championships. So it doesn't always work out that way.
Which one of the players are we paying? Zeke again?
No, of course not. Zeke obviously was, I think that was a Band-Aid on a broken leg, if you will. Maybe
but
hoping that they
afford,
could run it back. But
what was that running back that signed with the Ravens and we couldn't afford him?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, we can't afford Derrick Henry because we want to sign Zeke again.
Well, they're not making the same amount of money, but I agree with you. I think Derrick Henry would have been terrific, but they got outbid by the Baltimore Ravens.
He bought a house in Texas. He wanted to sign with us, but Jerry said, oh, we can't afford him.
Are you taking into account salary cap?
You can always rearrange numbers. Look at the 49ers. They're paying Deebo Samuel. They're paying Ayuk. They're paying Bosa. They're paying people.
Well, so are the Cowboys. The Cowboys are paying CeeDee Lamb. They're paying Dak Prescott. They just re-signed them to these big deals. They do hand out money. It's not that they don't. It's just at times you have to allocate. And I agree with you. Bad decision. But maybe Derrick Henry got a lot more from the Ravens and wanted to play with Lamar Jackson.
And you know what they try to say sometimes? They say, well, you may not make the same money you'd make at another team, but in the long run, if you do good with the Cowboys, you know, you're going to get the TV contracts. You're going to get the, you know. You know what they're saying?
I do, of course. Again, I just know that salary cap considerations and the contracts they had coming up that they had to sign. I mean, we heard them talking about this triumvirate of Dak and CD, and now Micah Parsons will have to get paid as well. We heard them talking about this going back to the offseason, how you have to really be creative in how you manage. I don't know that they wouldn't have been able to afford Derrick Henry. I'm just spitting to you what they've said. And I do think that Derrick has the perfect fit there in Baltimore and probably would have been a great fit for Dallas. Zeke wasn't going to be the answer. And so that's one glaring issue they did not address in the offseason. All right. So Micah Parsons, this is part of his podcast that will be released in its entirety on Tuesday, more than likely. But this is him addressing the comments he made post-game Sunday.
I never once threw or even intended to throw Mike McCarthy under the bus. Like I said, he's one of the most winningest coach. He is a Super Bowl champ. I never once brung up his past. And the question that was asked was about here in the Dallas Cowboys, did I see Mike McCarthy in our future? And I said, that's above my pay grade. So never once did I ever intended or wanted to reflect on Mike McCarthy's career because I always knew it was a good one. I've always had a great relationship with Mike McCarthy, and I never even put that in question.
I agree with him there. I mean, he did say that's that's above my pay grade. I don't think in any way that Micah Parsons insinuated that Mike McCarthy shouldn't have a job or that Mike isn't a good coach. Just don't love what he had to say at the end of it. But still, that's, I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's still us reading into whatever it is that he had to say. And so there sounds like there's a bit of defensiveness there with Micah. Good. I'm glad he's pushing back. I look forward to hearing the rest of his explanation about his post-game comments. The only part I didn't like, I was with him about Zach Martin and the other veterans and how badly he feels because this is such a crappy season for them to this point. I just didn't love him talking or him saying that those guys have put in more work than Mike McCarthy ever has. That maybe he was referring to the number of years, but it kind of came across like Mike McCarthy doesn't do the work that the guys do. So that's the only part that raised eyebrows for me. Everything else I felt like was par for the course. I would have said the same thing. Not that anyone comes to me and asks me whether or not I think my boss should be fired or, hey, did you know your boss was in the final year of his contract? What do you think about that? Oh, yeah, I don't make those kind of decisions. Absolutely above my pay grade. So to me, that was him taking the easy out, right? There's the exit ramp off of the controversial superhighway. Get off now. The red lights are flashing. Get out while you can. I didn't love the end of it, but I'll look forward to hearing more of what Micah Parsons had to say. Thanks again, Will, for alerting us to that clip being released by Bleacher Report, which is where his podcast is housed. At A-Law Radio. Also, you can vote for TD of the Week now at Amy After Hours. We'll throw it up on Facebook now. Good morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.